ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जन्माद्यस्य यतो अन्वयात् इतरश्चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वरा तेने ब्रह्महृदय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वारिं मृदा यथा विनिमयो त्रिसर्गो यत् विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकम् सत्यं परं धीमहि O my Lord Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of the Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance and destructions of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations. And he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion. As one is bewildered by the illusory representation of water seen in fire or land seen on water, only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature appear factually, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. So we'll continue reading this purport, because as if you understand the concept, the principal concept of this great doctrine, then it becomes easy to understand the further explanation that has given here. So in the first verse itself, Srila Vedavyas is explaining about the absolute reality. Who is absolute truth?
Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah. The son of Vasudeva. And what he has done? He has imparted the whole Vedic knowledge in nutshell in the heart of Brahma, Adikavi. And who is beyond this material world? So here the nature of material world, the nature of a transcendental abode, and the nature of the Supreme Personality of a Godhead has explained here. In the purport here, Prabhupada says, I will just continue with the last Saturday's purport paragraph, and then in continuation we will start with that. Unless one surrenders unto the lotus feet of Supreme Lord, it is certain that he will be bewildered. When an intelligent man surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna and knows completely that Krishna is the cause of all causes as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Do you remember that shloka? Aham sarvasya prabho matta sarva pravartate. Then only can such an intelligent man become Mahatma. So you are qualified to become Mahatma. A great soul. But such a great soul is rarely seen. Only the Mahatmas can understand that the Supreme Lord is the primal cause of all creation. He is a param or ultimate truth because all other truths are relative to him. He is omniscient. For him, there is no delusion. See, these two qualities that make him specifically different from the other living entities. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what's going on in your heart, his heart, his heart, my heart, at the same moment. We don't know what's going on in our own heart. What to speak of, knowing others' heart. Lord is omniscient and omnipresent. As we are present here only, so we are here only. Mind may go somewhere. But Lord is here also, and well as He?
Everywhere.
Omnipresent. And He is cognizant. The specific word that Prabhupada uses here, that cognizant. What do you mean by cognizant?
He knows what's going on.
So he aware, completely aware of things, what's going on. And that's why their lordship is totally different from all other living entities. And Prabhupada says here, the person who knows this is Mahatma. Generally we do upahasa, sarcasm. We call someone as, Are Mahatma idharo. Like you are calling some fool as intelligent. Are Pandit, come here. You are putting him down actually by saying that. So one should understand the meaning of the words and then use them. Then it has a value. And further Prabhupada says, some Mayavadi scholars argue that Srimad Bhagavatam was not compiled by Sri Vedavyas. And some of them suggest that this book is a modern creation written by someone, Vopadeva. In order to refute such a meaningless argument, Sri Sridhar Swami points out that there is a reference to Bhagavatam in many other oldest Puranas. See, even though Sridhar Swami, who wrote the first commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, he was from Mayavadi Sampradaya. He was from Shankara Sampradaya. And he is refuting the argument put by the other Mayavadis about this treatise, about the Srimad Bhagavatam. They say that there is compilation of some Vopadeva Brahmana who is used to stay in Himalayas, he has compiled this. But he gives references from different Puranas which are older than Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled at the end. That we'll see in further chapter, it has explained. Then he says that the shloka of the Bhagavatam begins with the Gayatri Mantra. There is a reference to this in a Matsya Puran. Matsya Puran is considered as the most oldest Puranas because that was the first incarnation of the Lord as a Leela avatar in this material world, and it explains about the avatars of the Lord, which is the oldest Purana. In that Puran, it is said with reference to Gayatri Mantra in the Srimad Bhagavatam that there are many narrations of a spiritual instruction beginning with the Gayatri Mantra. And there is the history of Vritrasura. Anyone who makes a gift of this great work on the full moon day attains to the highest perfection of the life by returning to Godhead. Can you imagine? Just by gifting this book.
Bhadra Purnima.
It said that any full moon day.
Any Purnima. Tadiya Pura. मला एक शंकराचार्यांना मायावादी फिलॉसफी होतात पण त्यांनी जगन्नाथ अष्टकम लिहिलं असं तर ते डिस्कनेक्शन वाटतं मला थोडं
नाही बघ
हां इट्स अ सिम्पल थिंग वाय ही अपियर टू दिस वर्ल्ड व्हाट्स
टू प्रीच मायावादी
फिलॉसफी
अद्वैत फिलॉसफी सो पीपल कॅन कम्पेअर बिटवीन द्वैत अँड अद्वैत
to give Vedas to everybody because Buddha has condemned all the Vedas so he again come back and give to the Vedas to everybody importance of the Vedas
see Buddha came what he did
I am so
he produced a doctrine which condemns the Vedic philosophy why is it so because those days people were killing animals slaughtering animals like anything for for the pleasure of tongue, nothing else. So to take them away from the Karmakanda part of the Vedas, what he did?
Condemned.
He called or Lord Aldur, Lord Shiva to appear. And so what he did? Mayavada Asat Shastra Prachannam Bauddha Uchyate. Mayavada is nothing but Asat Shastra, which is not a reality. Kalo Brahmana Rupena Jataha. He born as a Brahmana and he established this Mayavad philosophy. So that, like those days, they were not caring about Vedas. So what he did, if you follow the Vedas, you are going to become a Supreme God, you know. You will be he. You and he is not different. Dandadharana Matrena Narona Raina. If just by taking sannyas you can become a Narayana. So he showed them a carrot and he brought them back to the Vedas. And then to establish the Vedic purport, then Lord sent his another pure devotees. Then came Vishnu Swami. Vishnu Swami came in a Rudra Sampradaya. Actually, he came in his Sampradaya only, Shankara Sampradaya only. And he established the Shuddha, what's that? Keval Advaita. He wrote a first commentary on Prasthan 3 and he established that we and Lord are different. So even though Lord appeared as a Shankaracharya, he preached about Mayavada. But there is one book called Prabodha Sudhakar. It was written by Shankaracharya. And that is it not written actually, it was the conversation between him and his intimate disciples who came and they argued with him. Why you are calling Krishna as Parabrahman? Then all the attributes of a Parabrahman, how they are the attributes of Krishna, that has explained in Prabodha Sudhakar. That book is not that much publicized because that refutes the whole Mayavada philosophy. And all the Ashtakas that they are chanted all over the main Vaishnava Tirthas is written by Shankaracharya only, Panduranga Ashtaka. Who has written that? Shankaracharya. Parabrahmalingam bhaje Panduranga. That supreme Brahman who has a form is nothing but Panduranga, that's what he says. Then Jagannath Ashtakam, Achyuta Ashtakam, Krishna Ashtakam, was that? Bhaje Vrajaika Mandanam Samasta Papa Khandanam. Who has written that? All these are written by Shankaracharya. Achyuta Ashtakam. Yeah?
Damodar Ashtakam?
No, Achyuta Ashtakam. All these are written by Shankaracharya. And even Lakshmi Narasimha Karunarasa Stotra. At the end he says, whoever chants these prayers, he is going to get the eternal abode of Lord Krishna. Yapatet Spratos Maraha. Whoever reads this, he will go back home back to God. He writes in his commentary on the Sharirik Bhasha, his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, Sharirik Bhasha, that Narayano Paravyaktat. Narayana is beyond this avyakta, unmanifested nature. So he is the eternal person.
But Shankara is our follower, but they always say that Ham Brahmasmi. Why they are emphasizing on those, apart from whatever Shankaracharya has written?
That's the age of Akali. What you can do. Even now Shankaras, they don't know what Shankaracharya has preached about. Nobody, everything has mixed person now. Somebody wants to get from here. They wanted to do just entertainment for the people. Nobody is behind establishing something. In previous eras, having, like, most of the Mayavadis, they can't speak on Bhagavatam, man. Bhagavatam is the whole illustration of the personality of a Godhead. How they can speak on that? But now, most of these Giris and Tirthas, they are giving classes, Bhagavat Saptas, which is totally against their own treatise. So where is that thing now? All they are doing for the sake of popularity and public stunt or fame, they are doing that stunt for fame, nothing else. If any genuine Mayavadi is there, he will not speak on Bhagavatam. The first word itself says, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva, I am worshipping that Vasudeva who is the son of Vasudeva. Then where is there Aham Brahmasmi, who is beyond something? Huh? Nirgun, Nirakar, Nirvishesh. Where is that then? So now everything is hodgepodge. Because unless and until you stick to your philosophy, sticks to your roots, you are not going to establish anything.
Same for like Buddha philosophy in Thailand. They follow Buddha philosophy, but they are a strong meat eater. So, I mean, where is the Buddha philosophy?
He has given Pancha, what's they called? Pancha Sutras. And there he clearly says Ahimsa. Ahimsa Paramo Dharma. But where is that? So, further, Prabhupada says here, in the Padma Puran, also there is a reference to the Bhagavatam in a conversation between Gautama and Maharaj Ambarish. The king was advised therein to read regularly Srimad Bhagavatam if he desired liberation from the material bondage. Under the circumstances, there is no doubt about the authority of Bhagavatam. Within the past 500 years, many erudite scholars and acharyas like Jiva Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Vallabhacharya, and many other distinguished scholars, even after the time of Lord Chaitanya, made elaborate commentaries on the Bhagavatam. And the serious student would do well to attempt to go through them to better relish the transcendental message. What he has written here. A serious student who wants to understand the real message will relish this book. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically deals with the original and pure sex psychology, that is Adi Rasa, devoid of all mundane impurity. The whole material creation is moving under the principle of sex life. In modern civilization, sex life is the focal point of all activities. Wherever one turns his face, he sees sex life prominent. Therefore, sex life is not unreal. Its reality is experienced in this spiritual world. The material sex life is but a perverted reflection of the original fact. The original fact is in the absolute truth, and thus the absolute truth cannot be impersonal. If everything that a person can do, and we says that, Lord says that Matta Sarva Pravartate, everything comes from him, then this thing is also there. If this thing is also there, then that means he is a person. How he can be an impersonal? It is not possible to be impersonal and contain pure sex life. Consequently, the impersonalist philosopher have given indirect impetus to the abominable mundane sex life because they have overstressed the impersonality of the ultimate truth. Consequently, man without information of the actual spiritual form of a sex has accepted perverted material sex life as all in all. There is a distinction between sex life in the diseased material condition and spiritual sex life. The Srimad Bhagavatam will gradually elevate the unbiased reader to the highest perfectional stage of transcendence. It will enable him to transcend the three modes of material activities: fruitive actions, speculative philosophy, and worship of functional deities as inculcated in the Vedic verse. So this particular purport where Prabhupada is establishing that the cause of this material world, nature of the material world, qualification of people who can understand this, and ultimately what they are going to understand, not based on the so-called speculative knowledge, but actually based on the real facts. And this is not some mundane literature meant for someone's satisfaction, but this is a supreme literature which is going to establish the personality of a Godhead, not as an impersonal, but as a person, and elaborate his wonderful activities, because the narrations of those activities is the cause of our liberation. We start the second verse, or? Now the second verse, it explains about what exactly this Bhagavatam does. The first verse has explained about the object and subject matter of Bhagavatam, and how that is established, that is explained in the second verse of this. So here it is said, Dharma Prochita Kaitavo Atra.
Dharma Prochita Kaitavo Atra.
Paramo Nitsmasaranam Satam.
Paramo Nitsmasaranam Satam.
Vedyam Vastamavam Atra Vastu.
Vedyam Vastamavam Atra Vastu.
Shivadam Tapatrayo Unmulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrate.
Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrate.
Kimva Parerishvarah.
Kimva Parerishvarah.
Sadyo Rudya Avarudyate Atra.
Sadyo Rudya Avarudyate Atra.
Kritibhi Shushrush Bhistat Kshana. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Puran propounds the highest truth, which is which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in the heart. So the first line itself says, Dharmo rojjita kaitavo atra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. He already said that Kaitava dharma, the dharma which is covered with the fruitive desires, is projitaha. Projita means totally rejected by Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam never speaks about the mundane literature or mundane activities which can produce some fruitive results. But it speaks about that which is relished by Paramo Niramatsaranam Satam. Satam. Satam means what? Satam means the people who follows the Sat. Sat means eternal, the absolute truth. Who follows the absolute truth, they are called as a Satam. Why they are? Because they are Paramo Niramatsaranam. Nirmatsara means? Matsara means envy. So nirmatsara means?
Non-envious.
So the people who are non-envious can relish this subject matter. So if someone does not have interest in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam means?
He is envious.
So both sara.
Matsara. So whoever has that matsara. Matsara means what? Which keeps you away actually. Or sara means which makes you fall down. That is matsara. Then further what it says? The highest truth is reality distinguished from the illusion for the welfare of all. Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapotraya unmunam. Because such a truth uproots the threefold miseries. So we are in this material world and we are suffering because of threefold miseries. Tapa trayaha. Traya means three. Daivika, Adhyatmika and Adibhautika. So these three kinds of sufferings are always there with us. How they will go away? Vedyam vastavam atra. When you understand that the reality of life.
English
Adi Daivika.
Adi?
Daivika. Adi Daivika means suffering, those are caused by
activity of God.
Something beyond our capacities. By the nature,
by the demigods,
stars,
all. So they come under the category of demigods only. So Deva, they are caused by the supernatural powers, in sophisticated English language, supernatural powers. Then Adibhautika means the suffering caused by other living entities, like me. As I am boring you for last 1 hour.
We should come.
Sometimes like a mosquito bite. Some of your colleagues in your own office.
They bite a lot.
So these are like a Adi Bhautika. And Adhyatmika means?
Our internal mind and thinking.
Caused by you.
Me.
No, not by anyone else. Yes. Caused by yourself to you. These are Adhyatmika. And everyone is having that. No one can say that, I am the most happiest person in the world. To say that also he has to check it with his mind, whether the mind says that or he is superficially saying that. So when one comes to this reality, Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu. So what is the Vastu? The absolute truth. When one understands the absolute truth, then automatically Shivadam, everything becomes auspicious, and Trapatrayo Unmulam, that uproots all these three kinds of sufferings from your life. Means that brings you on the level of understanding that I am not this body. When you understand that you are not this body, then automatically the things related with the body will be not yours. As long as you are on the bodily platform, which is called as a Deha Atma Buddhi, you will suffer for these sufferings. And when you elevate yourself above that platform, then Shivadam, everything will be auspicious. That's why you can see the most pure devotees, they have always smile on their face. Why? Shivadam, everything is auspicious for them. Even though they are in the material world, but they are not of the world. Padma Patra Iva Ambasa. Like a lotus leaf in the water. Even though it is in the water, but it never gets
wet.
So same way, the person who understands the spiritual reality, Vedyam Vastavam Atra Vastu, who understands the reality, is Shivadam, he is auspicious. He is out of these three kinds of suffering. Clear? Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrate Kimva Parer Ishvaraha. This beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadev in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What it says? Kimva Parereshwaraha. And further he says, Sadyo Rudya Avarudyate Rud Atra Kritibihi Shushrushu Bhitatakshanahat. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Sadyo Rudya Avarudyate. That we need to understand. So here, in the Purport, Prabhupada says, religion includes four primary subjects. Namely, pious activities, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and finally, liberation from the material bondage. Irreligious life is barbarous condition. Indeed, human life begins when religion begins. Eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating are the four principles of animal life. These are common both animals and to human beings. But religion is an extra function of the human being. Without religion, human life is no better than animal life. Therefore, in human society, there is some form of a religion which aims at self-realization and which makes reference to man's eternal relationship with God. So as Niti Shastra says that Ahar Nidra Bhayamaitunam Chasamanya Tat Pashubhir Narana Dharmohi Teka Tesham Adhiko Visheshe Dharmena Hina Pashubhir Samana. The four things, that ahar, nidra, bhaya and maithun, they are common in human being and animals. But in animal life, one can enjoy them more than the human beings actually. Whatever pleasure they are going to get it, they are getting much more. How long you can sleep? Nowadays, they are not able to sleep even 6 hours. As erudite scholars, they have to spend their nights in preparing their theses and all that things. So they forget even, they have a sleepless night, you can say. Look at the polar bear. Sleeps for?
6 months.
Without any? So they enjoy a lot. Aha, how much you can eat? As much as your liver is bigger. Because that's what actually. Only that much. And our liver size is like this only. Like a fist. So if you eat this much only, that is comfortable for you. If you eat more than that, like me, then you will be overweight. Nothing else. Huh? So, but look at the elephant. How much he eats? 3 quintals per day. And Lord is providing him without doing any job. Nobody is paying him, but he is getting that much. And we are slogging for a month to get our bread and butter. That's what we say. Huh? So having food is also very easy in animal life. To defend. They defend themselves. Nature has provided them. Like if you are walking on the road and maybe a bird sitting there, some car comes. Who will fly first?
The car will not fly first.
Bird will fly first, and if not, then we will fly from our body first. So Lord has given naturally everything. And then procreation. How many kids we can have? One per year, if somebody is that potent. Otherwise, look at the dogs.
Year 20.
Every year minimum 20. That's their quota. And look at the pigs even. In one slot they give like a 14 kids, you know, minimum. And that is thrice a year. So how many it is? 42 per year. To beget progeny is far better in the animal life than the human life. Then what's the visheshaha? What's the most important thing that human being can do? Dharma. So what is that dharma? There are so many dharmas are going on nowadays. And they are called as a purojitaha kaitavaha. They should be rejected at once because they are a kaitava. Kaitava means false religions. The real object of religion to establish the relationship with the Lord. Now they have faiths, not religion. They term faith as a religion. Faith can be changed. Today I am Buddhist, tomorrow I can be a Christian. Maybe that does not like, then I can be a Mohammedan. That is a faith. But religion means which does not changes. It's a constitutional position. What's the constitution of sugar?
Sweet.
Can you take it out, sweetness from the sugar? What is the constitution of water?
Liquid.
Liquidity. Taralata. Can you take that out?
No.
Then what is the constitution of living entity?
Love. Dharma.
To love and to serve. That is dharma for living entity. Then whom to love and whom to serve? That has spoken in this book. And then further Prabhupada says, in the lower stages of human civilization, there is always competition to lord it over the material nature. Or, in other words, there is a continuous rivalry to satisfy the senses. That's what we are seeing. All these modern amenities, all these modern inventions, is nothing but to satisfy the senses. Previously, they used to have a big televisions and slim people. Nowadays, they have a slim wall hang televisions and balloons. All these modern amenities, why we are making them? To have more comforts to this body and kill the soul. That's what we are doing actually. We are saving time, you know, by having all these gadgets. We are saving our time. For what? To waste it. Not to invest it, but to
waste it.
Waste it. Driven by such a consciousness, man turns to religion. He thus performs pious activities or religious functions in order to gain something material. Nowadays people, they perform dharma for what? Like here I see mostly. In India, I never went for Satyanarayan Puja anywhere, you know. But here, the most of the people, they come and ask for Satyanarayan Puja only. Why? Because mannat mangi thi humne. I will get my visa, I will get my new job, I will get my new house, I will get my kids in this particular, they will get this particular scholarship. For that I am asked for. So they do dharma for what? For material gain. But that's not the real purpose of dharma. Dharma is meant to serve and to love Lord, not to expect anything. This is the situation in the modern civilization. Man is thriving economically, so at present he is not very interested in religion. Churches, mosques and temples are now practically vacant, you can see. This hall is capacity of 600 people. How many are there? 8, 9, including me. But if you go to PVR and what there, theaters here.
Mall.
You can go to the malls. What happens?
Huh? 11 o'clock.
Oh, you're going there. So this is what actually. Because they are thriving themselves to make a progress economically. Men are more interested in factories, shops, in bracket malls, and cinema houses than in religious places which were erected by their own forefathers. This practically proves that religion is performed for some economic gains. Economic gains are needed for sense gratification. Often when one is baffled in the pursuit of a sense gratification, he takes to salvation and tries to become one with the Supreme Lord. Consequently, all these states are simply different types of sense gratification. Most of the people, they come to spirituality. Why? Because they get frustrated with their relationships. They get cheated, they get totally frustrated, they go to their doctors, get frustrated. Then ultimately they think that only the spirituality can help. So they come to spirituality. But that is also one kind of a sense gratification. Because nowhere else their senses are getting their senses are not getting soothed, you know. So that's where they come to spiritual practice. When I can come here. Yesterday somebody came and started producing different sounds. I said, what? I'm cooling down myself. I'm cooling down myself. So, purpose of coming here and performing something is to cool down their senses. Forget about the self. They are not self-conscious, they are body-conscious. He is a yoga teacher. He knows. He must be dealing hundreds of people. In the Vedas, the above mentioned four activities are prescribed in the regulative way so that there will not be any undue competition for sense gratification. Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha he is speaking about. But Srimad Bhagavatam is a transcendental to all these sense gratificatory activities. It is purely transcendental literature which can be understood only by the pure devotees of the Lord, who are transcendental to competitive sense gratification. In the material world, there is keen competition between animal and animal, man and man, community and community, nation and nation. But the devotees of the Lord rise above such a point and such a competitions. They do not compete with the materialist because they are on the path of back to Godhead, where life is eternal and blissful. Such a transcendentalist are non-envious and pure in heart. In the material world, everyone is envious of everyone else, and therefore there is a competition. So when you compete with someone, means
you're envious.
You are envious of him. I want to cook much better than him, you know. You are not showing love for the Lord, but you are showing envy for the other person.
I want to serve the Lord.
Let me make something special for the Lord. Let me make something. That is totally different consciousness. There is no competition, but there is a...
Or why I was not asked. Why I was not asked.
Such... But the transcendental devotees of the Lord are not only free from material envy, but are well-wishers of everyone. So what they do? The best thing you can see. Because if you have to do something for your spiritual master, what you will do?
We'll know what he...
You will do the best,
best
of your capacities.
Yes.
You will try to give him the best. Then when, like you are in the temple, and somebody asks you, sing. You know that you can't sing properly. So what you will do? Someone who sings better, you will hand it over to him. Please, Prabhu, you go ahead, you sing. So that shows the transcendental consciousness. Otherwise, why every time he has to sing? Let me sing. Every time, why he has to lead Kirtan? Why he has to give class? That means?
Non-transcendental consciousness.
Material consciousness.
There is no non-transcendental.
A simple word is material consciousness. There is no transcendence at all. But the transcendental devotees of the Lord are not only free from the material envy, but are well-wishers of everyone. And they strive to establish a competition-less society with God in center. The contemporary socialist conception of the competition-less society is artificial, because in the socialist state, there is a competition for the post of director. From the point of view of the Vedas or the form, the point of view of a common human activities, sense gratification is the basis of material life. There are three paths mentioned in the Vedas. One involves fruitive activities to gain promotion to better planets. Another involves worshipping different demigods for promotion to the planets of the demigods. And the other involves realizing the absolute truth and his personal future and becoming one with him. That is impersonal realization. And I think that is enough for today.
I'm just going down.
I can get it done.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.